Welcome to TerryWilson3.com, the show committed to helping you grow, protect, and enjoy your money, business, and life.
To get with, yes, this is really something that seems to be scratching a lot of itches, and it looks like it's pretty lucrative.
Well, it's one of the best business decisions that I've made, you know, becoming a rep.
My intent now is being in that call center is letting people know this is the real deal. You will make money, and you don't have to have a product to promote. Just get in that call center and take calls, read a script. You will make money.
I started my own personal business 10 days ago. On Friday, I have my first two sales come through, and I have more pending. You do the activity, you take the time, you talk to the people.
You will make money.
I am in love with it. I don't know any other way to put it.
I really appreciate all the value you give. It's a lot, but I look up to you a lot. You're kind of a leader in an industry where there's lots of BS.
And by the way, I love your swag.
This is the Terry Wilson. Really, I'm excited, Terry. I want to get started here.
What's swag? What's swag?
Like the,
no, they're talking about his swagger.
No, when she was talking about I love your swag, she was talking about my posture as far as the way I carry myself. I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Let's go with that.
Sure. We'll go with that. I'm a gangster. Hey, do I have anything in my teeth?
Nope. You're good.
All right. For you guys that came on right at the very, very beginning and saw me abruptly get up, I was told you might want to check your teeth before we start.
It's good timing.
Hey, Gina told me to keep you in line tonight. I was just trying to fulfill my direction.
Well,
what I was told to do.
Well, I had pesto. I mean, we just had this nice salmon thing from Costco.
The pre-made?
The pre-made. I'm telling you, Costco has changed our life. Yeah, because it's prepped. It's got
it's legit. It's real food.
It's real food. It's healthy food. And it had this little pesto thing going on, and all we had to do was throw it in the oven for 20 minutes, bake it, and it was ready.
Enchilada bake's my fave.
I love Costco pre-made food. Well, welcome, everybody. This is episode 327. Glad to have everyone on tonight. We've got a special, special show for you. We have got Dr. Dave in the house. Dave, are you with us?
I'm here, Terry.
Well, I think I called you doctor, and I apologize. I'm gonna. Is it a demotion to call you Coach Dave now?
Yes. Yeah. Past life, Dr. Dave is a past life, and present life is Coach Dave.
Coach Dave from HigherMeaningAndPurpose.net. It's wonderful to have you on tonight. We met you. Virtually met you several months back, but got to physically meet you in March when you came up to the Elite Conference. So it was a wonderful time to get
there. Yeah, it was, Terry.
So thank you so much for driving all the way up to Florida. And, you know, he drove up from Florida on 95, and I think he ran into terrible traffic coming up and came in with a positive attitude.
I was about to say, I never sensed any stress.
No stress
from him at all.
So I think he lives what he preaches, so it's going to be fun to have him on tonight to understand, you know, some of these mindsets and things that we could all learn from. So that's going to be very cool. So very excited to get to talk to you about that tonight, Dave.
Yeah, happy to be here, Terry.
Absolutely. Listen, if you're on the show tonight and you'd like to talk to us, we're over at terrywilson3.com/live. You might be seeing us on YouTube or Facebook or some other channel. But if you want to be able to join the conversation, if you got a question for any of us here in the studio, or if you have a question for Dr. Dave or Coach Dave, I'm going to get that.
Strike two.
One more and I'm out. I just got it in my head and I can't get it out. Coach Dave. If you got any questions for Coach Dave as well, you can pipe it in there at terrywilson3.com/live. Go over there. You'll see a little icon in the bottom right-hand corner with my little face looking like Guy Fieri going. And
it's really proud of that.
With pesto in my teeth. You know.
So, I will say in your defense that Coach Dave has that like really calming, comforting presence of a doctor.
Yes.
So it's hard.
It is.
He's just got that thing, that X factor.
Well, he's got that X factor. He's got that inner peace, and he can probably share some about that tonight as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a, you know, I know a lot of people, when you get into metaphysical stuff, you know, things that are not tangible and things, sometimes people check out. But let me tell you, if you want to affect your physical world and deal with some of the world that you don't perceive mm-hmm. nationally in the tangible, but just some of that inner peace, laws of attraction, that is a real thing. I'm telling you, I've seen it in my own life. So I think for you guys that are entrepreneurs or thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, the content that we're going to give you tonight, I think is going to be well worth your time. But if you want to join the chat, go over to TerryWilson3.com/live. If you would like to follow us on Facebook, you can go to TerryWilson3.com/Facebook. TerryWilson3.com/Facebook. And if you're a twit that likes to tweet, you can follow us and hit us up at TerryWilson3.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah,
Twitter, is that still like a popular thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We
have a president that would argue otherwise, so yeah.
Do not.
I didn't make a statement.
All bring up anything.
Trump uses Twitter. That's a fact. It's not an opinion.
Okay. Let's just venture away from those landmines of subjects. Trump
uses Twitter. We know. We all know this.
I'm telling you, social media has become a cesspool because of politics.
We were
politics.
Talking about this earlier today. You just can't even get on social media anymore. At least I can. Maybe I'm too sensitive, but I get on. I just see.
Well,
dumb comment about LeBron James, or I see something political, or I just keep
scrolling. Yeah, I mean, time to be emotionally.
I do, but I get into this like I'm trying to think of why they would think that way, and the only thing I can presume is they just don't. They're not thinking. Like yeah. There's nothing. There's no real cognitive.
It's like everyone's angry, and they use social media as a journal.
Yeah,
I'd like to express my feelings and my most deepest angers.
I want to give my uninformed opinion.
Unfollows. They get unfollows.
Well, that's what we're talking about. I was like, have you noticed all these people that conduct themselves in that way? They got 100 followers, 128 followers. Like, you're in an echo chamber, buddy. Right. I mean,
yeah.
So, anyway. Well, listen. Tonight we're talking about the audacity to dream. The audacity to dream. And let me ask a question, and I'll hit Coach Dave up on this. Dave, do you think it's healthy for a person to even have a dream or start to dream? Is that a healthy mindset to have, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I like that question, Terry. You know, you could have asked something like, you know, is it good to have a dream? It's healthy. That's an interesting term to use there. When I think of that, I think, well, how about eating? Is eating healthy? And, you know, you could eat some things that may not work for your health and well-being, and you can eat some things that, you know, adds to your aliveness and so forth. So I think your dream is very, very much like that, in terms of there's aspects of your dream that are life-giving, and then if we adopt dreams that aren't necessarily ours, or adopt dreams that, you know, we're been influenced by from other people, then they may not be for our best interest. And nice thing about it is I have a test to help people determine the value of their dreams. So maybe at some point we can take people through the test. It's 5 simple questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, it is incredibly valuable in terms of, you know, helping people come alive in their life. It's something that is natural to us to want to give to others, to want to contribute to others and use our talents and skills and abilities. And a lot of times we do rely on things that we've been told that are important for us to want. And so more and more people are trying to tap into their own reality and their own needs and their own situation, their own gifts and talents, and really start to ask themselves, what makes me come alive? And so the first question is, when you come into something that you're wanting to move forward with in your life and sort of the seeds of a dream, the first question to ask, of course, is, does this make me come alive? Does this feel expansive? Mm. And so if you have some kind of containment, or if you have some kind of restriction, well, certainly that's not the dream that you're looking for.
Right.
And so it's a great thing to kind of feel in your life. Man, does this light me up? You know, is this really important to me? Does this light me up, turn me on? Do I get on fire when I feel this coming through my body?
Right.
And then the second simple question is simply, does this align with my core values? A lot of times we come up with something that excites us and so forth, but when we work it through a little bit, we find out, wow, well, this will interfere with my family life.
Right.
And so, you know, family life is part of my core value. So maybe this exactly won't work for me and so forth.
No, that's a great, yeah. You know, I want to stop you right there. I love that. Does it resonate with your core values?
So good.
When you're trying to measure, is this a healthy dream to have? It has been my experience in doing the type of coaching I do, which is primarily coaching entrepreneurs or wantrepreneurs, as we call them. So many times, people have experienced such tough failures that they don't want to even go there again. And so they hold themselves, they don't allow themselves to dream anymore. And a lot of times those failures came about because what they were doing, the activity they were engaged in, was not congruent with their value system. They simply did it just because it was a means to an end. They're just trying to make money or just trying to do this, you know, just trying to get to from point A to point B, and took the wrong path because they thought someone promised them some sort of success in some way, but they were doing things that just not them. It's just, it doesn't,
yeah,
you know? And so I love that question. It sort of filters that out. So you guys that are on the podcast tonight, you guys that are listening to this later on, man, really, really take to heart, you know, those first two things, and we're going to get into the next few here, but does it make me come alive? Does it resonate with my purpose and my passions? Now, does it light me up? I love the way you said that. Number two, does it harmonize and is it congruent with my value system?
Can I say something
real quick? Absolutely.
So I have this like huge dream to be a midwife. I love babies. I love the birth process.
Mm.
But it doesn't line up with my family. It would not make sense for me to be running out of the house at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 to 5 nights a week,
right,
which is why I know that that is not where I need to be right now.
Right.
And I've had to kind of walk through that and reconcile that, because you can be super passionate and super lit up by something,
but then it
and it be out
it
of harmony.
Work against,
yeah,
your values of where you're at right now.
And family's more important to me than anything.
Yeah.
So
that's good stuff, Coach Dave.
That's a beauty, and that's a perfect example too. And then Terry, you know, just to expand on something you brought up about, you know, the disappointment of failure and people not having a connection with their genuine gifts and talents. I think back, you know, 100 years ago, and we are, and you know, most everybody knows Napoleon Hill, the Think and Grow Rich, the Law of Success, and you know. What he identified as a real, and he calls it a real tragedy in the world, is the fact that he says it like this, the fact that most people never engage in the work for which they're best fitted by nature.
Mm.
And this has become a big part of my work in really uncovering people's natural gifts and talents, as well as their natural limitations. And so this has been an exciting piece of work for me to really, as I start to work with people, really know them in a way that I knew people when I was, you know, I had a nice 36 year career as a chiropractic physician in the healing arts. I knew people really well before I offered any guidance, direction, hands-on care. And so I needed that, you know, in terms of being a coach, I needed a way to, you know, kind of really connect with people.
Right.
And, you know, part of it is really uncovering their gifts and really, really harmonizing with those. But back to the questions, the third question is something that's really important, which is this dream going to cause me to grow?
Mm.
Now, obviously, if it's something simple, something you already know how to do, and there's no problem, I mean, that's not much of a dream.
Right.
That's not pushing you very far.
If you're not having to stretch for it, it's not really a dream. It's more of a just, we'll go to this position now. Just roll over.
Yeah, something simple, right?
Exactly. Right. You know, and to be honest with you, we have had a tremendous, I was telling the guys before we came on tonight, last week was our biggest week in business in the last 10 years.
Whoa.
We did commission-wise, close to $80,000 in commissions went out last week of just people reselling our system. That doesn't include using the system with RMPs. And, you know, over half of our members don't even resell our system. They use it for their insurance, real estate, and other businesses. Like, you know, you've got your coaching business and you're using some of our tools to generate leads for that and whatnot. But just in on the resale side, and when you do that much volume, you're going to have a couple times, well, you know, man, this is, I didn't realize it was going to be all this. And I was like, well, how do you expect to make that six figure and maybe even bump seven figure later on if you don't have to expand, if you don't have to stretch and learn and grow? And I love that question. Does this cause me to grow? There's no great thing I've ever done that it did not cause me tremendous, compel me to have to really get outside of where I'm at right now. You know, and growing is tough. Growing is painful.
It is.
You know, stretch marks.
Yeah. Oh, don't even get me started. Four pregnancies in 4 years.
Oh, my gosh.
But isn't it?
You know, Terry, it's like, and it really brings up the point of the greatest value of really connecting into your contribution to others and getting into this dream. It's who you become.
Right.
You know, it's the growth that goes through you and that happens for you, and it's the person you become. That's the greatest gift of all, actually, in having this powerful dream for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, it is, you know, as most of you can discern, you know, the first question I posed to the group here in the studio, is it healthy for a person to have a dream? I would say all four of us would say absolutely. It is if it's the right dream. So go. What was the last couple of questions that you asked? You know, to discern and to measure if it's a proper dream.
Well, this one's nice. I love this. I love the last two. I love them all, but this last two are awesome. And this one is this dream going to benefit others?
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Mm. I want to scream yes, because for what I'm doing, what's so good for me is I have, you know, my clothes that I sell. And when women come over to my house and they try them on and they put them on, their faces light up and their confidence soars. And it is so great to be able to see that.
That's awesome. You know, that goes to the purpose of what you're doing. If what you're doing is just about you, you're going to get burned out.
Absolutely.
It's got to be more than just you. Mm-hmm. I have never done anything with any longevity tied to it if it was always just about me, because there's something about just doing stuff for self that eventually is just so lackluster, unrewarding, and becomes hollow.
Yeah.
But man, when it's, you know, when it's about, and you can see the fruits of what you're doing and how it's impacting other people, and you go home with that sense of purpose. Hey, I was able to touch this many people,
Absolutely.
Help them. You know, one, I love what we make. I love that we're going on a vacation. As a matter of fact, we're taking all of September off, just about.
What?
Going to Florida, going on cruises. We're doing all kinds of stuff. But I love that. Yeah. So I don't, you know, truth in advertisement. I love that. But, you know, I love just as much of people that send me email that send, Terry, I've tried all these work from home, get rich quick scheme stuff, and always come up empty. I've been in your system for a week, a month, or whatever, and I'm starting to see this. Or, man, I just made my first sale. Or, Terry, I'm making $2,500, $3,500 a week now working from home on my own. That, to me, is just as rewarding, because I say, okay, we're doing something right.
Right.
You know, I love the fact that last week was our greatest week in business. Is, you know what? I wasn't the top seller. I wasn't even close. And some of our top sellers, people hadn't even heard of, never been on this show.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Some of them only been with us a month.
That's awesome. Yeah. They're on fire. They're working hard. That's the best.
So yeah, I love that, Coach. I love that. Does it help others? I'm telling you, you will last. You will last longer when it's about more than just yourself. What's the last one there?
The last one is my favorite, which is, of course, it relates as well to number three, which is basically, is it going to cause me to grow? And is it going to cause me to grow? And this one is, do I need help from a higher power?
Mm.
Now we're talking about a really significant dream.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's going to improve your faith. It's going to make, it's going to push you toward, you know, your ultimate purpose of being. So yeah, I love that. I love that, you know, and I tell people all the time, you know, I try my best to not get quote unquote religious on the show because it's not about that. But I can tell you this, one of the greatest things that I love, because there was a season when we lost the business back in 07, 08. I could have gone into pastoring a church, but there wasn't a church around that was going to be able to afford to pay what I felt like it would take to support a family of our size. It just wasn't. And I was so discouraged. And my prayer the whole time is, Lord, I want to minister. I want to give back. I want to be able to encourage. I've always had this thing inside of me. The music I write, the music I play, the message I give, it's always been about building others. I want to, because I know what it's like to be down, discouraged, and and feel like you can't do. So that's always been, but I don't know how to do that, which I feel, and make a living.
Yeah.
And then this thing comes about.
Yeah.
And so it's Coach, it's awesome. You know, does it cause you to get connected with your sense of that higher power, the reason you're in. And for us Christians, I'm not putting my religion, my faith on anyone, but for us Christians, you know, for anyone else, is it connecting you to why you are?
For us,
I love the humility that comes with that, and the reliance, you know, on you know, what other people may call, you know, the mastermind principle, when you tap into something bigger than yourself.
Absolutely.
And you know, you have some faith that, hey, I've been given this life, and you know, if I come up with something that's, you know, real and genuine for me, I'm going to be given the tools and the ideas and the experiences and the support to really help me make it happen. I'm not here by myself, and so forth. So I just really love that last one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've got some shout outs that you said you wanted to hit.
Oh, yeah, we had some come in.
All right. Go ahead.
Let's get through here. This is from Diana. I appreciate you. Thank you. That was our first one.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
That was very nice. This one's from Mark. Shout out to Diana, Ken, Evan, and Jerry Z, also Bob in New Orleans. So these are all his new members. And
well,
give a shout out.
You guys are connected to one of the elite coaches of TW3. He is a rock star. He gives great time and consideration and coaching to his members, and his members produce. So that's great stuff. We got any questions in the chat
room? No questions yet. A couple more shout outs. This one's from Spencer. Welcome Shonda Lee Smith and Rod Phillips.
All right. So, welcome, guys. Welcome. Spencer's awesome.
We have Matt Fox in the chat, and he hasn't been on in a few weeks, so it's good to see him.
Matt, sure, good to see you back, brother. Good to have you back. Hope you're getting something out of tonight's show. And if we can answer any questions you got, let us know. So the first question I posed, and we just sort of elaborated on, because Coach Dave had so much stuff there, is it healthy for a person to have a dream? Of course it is, if it's the right thing. And he just went through five ways that you can measure to see if it's right. Here's a question, and I'll start with Lindsay on this one. Lindsay, how do you dream after a discouragement? How do you rekindle that dream once you've had that dream, you've gone for that dream, and that dream just fell apart on you? How do you get back up?
Okay, so let me drill down a little bit on that question. Are you talking about in my personal journey with my business, or are you talking about another adventure that I've tried that has failed and then I dove into another one?
I'll leave that to you, however you want to answer it. Because a dream is a dream, whether it's personal, whether it's professional, whether it's in business. I mean, we all have these things, these dreams that we have, and inevitably, you're going to love and lose. I mean, it's just part of the game.
So I would say in my music history and in my business, when I have experienced a great discouragement, you know, something I was really hopeful for that would work out, didn't work out, the way that I found encouragement was through either serving or giving. And the music example, there was this audition process and I was really hopeful for a spot on this team.
Right.
It didn't work out, but I just knew I was supposed to be part of that ministry. So I took on an admin role.
Gotcha.
And through serving, I found lots of great joy and I learned incredible skills that I can apply much later in my life.
Right.
So serving in that role.
And then, sounds like you go back to what David was talking about. Is it bigger than me?
Yeah.
And so it helps others.
Well, and you know,
it connects
with music,
you to your purpose.
Like, there's, I'm a musician. I right. feel like I've got gifts and talents, but there are others with more than me. And so I'm not going to get every role I audition for. And I recognize that. But if I really feel called to a ministry, I can serve.
Right.
I can push papers. I right. can make phone calls. I'm not above that.
Right. You right. know? But you're still connected to it.
Right. Yeah. I still want to be a part of it, right. whether I'm on stage or behind the scenes.
Right.
So, and then on my business, you know, there's been a couple of different things that I've tried and been really, really excited about, and they have not worked out.
Sure.
And so when I'm in that sad place, an easy way to get out of that is to give, you know, right. find a cause and give. I have a lot of clothes at my house.
Right.
And I can just give and like, there's that's a lot, awesome. A lot of joy in giving.
Yes, there is. Absolutely. Guys, I think what you're hearing tonight through Coach Dave and Lindsay and hopefully myself is it's worth having a dream if the dream is worth having. And if the dream is worth having and you use those five ways that Coach Dave just sort of broke down, then discouragement that we all go through, Lindsay's gone through it. I'm sure Coach Dave has got a story. Y'all have heard my story too. You're probably sick of it. But, you know, if it's worth having, it's worth fighting for. And you will find the energy to fight for what it is you want when the dream is big enough and the desire is big enough to go after. So I want to ask the general audience, and if you want to type it in and give it to Reagan, you can participate. But what is your dream? What's your dream? What is it that you dream about? What is it that just is on the inside of you? Is like fire shut up in your bones. I mean, you just can't. I mean, it's just something that it keeps you up at night. What is your dream? My dream from since I was a kid, since I can remember, believe it or not. Now, it took on different forms. It took on different forms. But my dream was always to be a businessman.
Well, here we are.
Believe it or not. Now, I thought at one time that looked like a preacher. I thought at another time it looked like a lawyer. I thought at another time it, because I'll tell you, everybody that the world I lived in was sort of lower end, working class, blue collar. And I would see people on TV like Perry Mason that would dress up in a suit and talk for a living. I said, now that's what I want to do.
I don't know that you want to get in a suit every day anymore.
Well, you know, at the time, you know how kids are. I mean, I was just
some of the part that he didn't like about it. He
I'm
was like, I don't like
I've
suits.
I've never seen
I'll
you walk
else.
In the As street see, in a suit.
I'm wearing a t-shirt and I got my
yes, work from home
shorts
life.
On. I mean, I'm literally with sandals on. But the thing was, I would see these people, and what I was seeing was they talk for a living. Hmm. They use their minds for a living. They're creative. So it resonated with me. So that was my dream. It just, the way I would see it in my head would take on different forms because that's all I knew.
Right.
You know.
TV.
Right. But I had a dream. And so that following that dream has taken on, you know, going into the music business first, going into direct sales, going into insurance. It's you know, mm-hmm. I don't, me personally, anybody, Dave, you push back on this. If you don't agree with it, feel free to. But I don't think the road to success is a straight line.
No, and what feels like success now in 2 years
might not. My road to success has been very curvy. A lot of detours.
Yeah.
Never was a direct line. But you know, I asked the audience, "What is your dream?" And then I ask you the second question, why is it a dream? For me, it was the ability to be creative, to do something, because everybody around me worked to put food on the table. They didn't work because they enjoyed it. The work was not fulfilling. Yeah. It was just the survival was right. a necessity. So my dream, the reason I had that dream is because I wanted to enjoy what I did for a living and my life. And then my last question I'll ask the general audience here is, how do you convert your dream to a plan? I heard a guy once say that my dreams will show up in what I say, but my plans show up in what I do.
Interesting.
I love that.
Do you dream to be wealthy or do you plan on being wealthy?
Well, I got the recommendation of a financial planner today because I realize I'm 30-something and retirement, I want to enjoy it.
Well, you either plan on retiring or you dream about retiring.
Yeah.
You either dream about working from home in your sandals and t-shirt, you know, chatting it up with your son and friends, or you make a plan
yeah.
and you go for it. You know, is it because, you know, dreams are great, but they don't need to stay there. There's three areas that I want to talk about in our remaining few moments here. We got about 30 minutes left on the show that I want to bring out. There are three areas when it comes to not only chasing, but achieving your dreams. I think you've got to hit these three areas. One is mindset. And we've been talking a lot about that tonight, and we'll continue to talk a little bit about it. Two is your habits. Habits are huge. Yes. And three, we were talking about it before we came on the show because I was talking about the Myers-Briggs type instrument and talking about how there's eight dichotomies of temperaments and personality types and how they work. And so we'll get into that a little bit tonight as well. But talking about mindset, the biggest thing that I would say about mindset that needs to be addressed right up front and in the forefront of everyone that's in the listening audience here. And if you plan on being successful at all in business, in life, in anything, is your attitude.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Attitude. Zig says it the best. Your attitude will dictate your altitude. And I'm going to tell you, social media, if it hasn't taught me anything, and Reagan, as we talked about today, is there's a lot of people out there with thinking. Their attitude just sucks. Yeah. And they wonder why they're not successful in life.
Well, your attitude really determines the direction of your day, direction of your life, because a lot of the same stimuli happen to numerous people.
Yes.
How you respond to those.
That's your choice. You can't choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you respond.
And you know, complaining is a sin. Yeah. I know we're not trying to.
I know. But it is.
Like, you're missing. We are not supposed to complain.
Right.
You know, well, we know people that are quote unquote successful. You know, they make a good living. They make a lot, and they still seem just so unhappy. I mean,
yeah, they're miserable because, what you got to define success. Success is not just money.
It's not.
No.
If you're a miserable SOB, but you got plenty of money, are you really?
Yeah.
You're not winning at life.
You're not. If your family cannot stand to be around you, there's no amount of money.
Right.
There's not.
You know, we met someone who was
you had to do it.
I had to do it.
I feel like he turned it down though, so it's not as obnoxious.
Yeah, you cranked it down a notch.
I cranked it down a little bit.
Everyone appreciates that.
So
I'll speak for everyone.
I'll just tell you about an attitude I ran into, and Reagan pointed it out to me. We won't mention names to keep it legal, but you know,
I don't know what he's referring to yet.
Am I going to have to call Gina in here?
So one of the things that I tend to overdo from time to time is sarcasm.
Okay.
You know, it's a second language for me.
What?
Believe it or not.
No.
And if you're like in my personal circle, one of the things I will do, and I got the camera on you. I'm sorry there, Lindsay. Just sitting there while you're drinking. I'm having to talk and do this thing at the same time. Sometimes I mess up. I apologize. One of the things I'll do is I like to banter back and forth with my friends. You know, I don't mean nothing by it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean nothing by it. You know, like if you're a guitar player, you know what I would ask you?
What?
What's the difference between a guitar player and a large pizza?
I got nothing.
A large pizza can feed a family of four. I don't mean
he's
nothing.
He's got jokes.
I don't mean nothing by that.
He does that.
I do
he's
that.
He's got one for everybody.
I've got one for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, what will you, you know, how do you tune two piccolo players? You shoot one of them.
Oh, <'Cause mercy. you> can't.
or something you'll never hear. Coming from a trombone player is put that in the back of my Mercedes. You just won't hear the.
Okay,
you know, I've got something for everyone. How can you tell it's a drummer at your door? Because the knock keeps slowing down and speeding up.
Or he never knows when to come in.
Or he never knows when to come in. Yeah. So I'm a musician, been around musicians my whole life. You know, we joke. So on social media, and someone, I responded to this post. And I was the only one that got the riddle right that was guessing. And I said, well, it must be a musician thing because the person who asked it knew it. And I picked up on it. And then one of the respondents says, well, no, so-and-so didn't get it either. And I was like, well, the so-and-so they're referring to is a drummer. So what do I say? Well, I thought he was a drummer. I didn't know he was a musician. You know, all good fun. Ha, ha, he, he. And then I had no idea he was because
are you in social media timeout?
He loses his marbles. He gets so offended. Now, me and him are friends. He knows me. He knows I don't mean nothing by it. If it was Reagan. Reagan's he's not a musician. He's a drummer.
Yeah, I get that all the time. That's pretty funny.
You're a drummer?
I am.
That's yeah. cool.
I've not a musician, though, apparently. But I am a drummer.
But I don't mean it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, this was 2.5 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. He's still talking about it. As recently as just 2 days ago, he posted on another social media platform and then used a pejorative to describe his friend, me. And he sends me this thing. He goes, I think you really aggravated him. He's still talking.
Like, wow.
So I had no idea the thing happened before. I was just like, what did you do to X? Because X is really upset.
Oh, my word. The point is, you know, people have joked with me. People have done me wrong. And I apologize to them. In the first thread, I said, listen, if it offended you, I didn't mean nothing by it. But there's some people, and I'm not necessarily saying this person, but I am, that they would do well just to stop and check their attitude and not get so easy. Because we live in a world right now that everybody is looking for something to be offended by.
Well, you can choose to be offended or not offended. Whenever you read something on social media.
Oh, my God.
You have a choice. However, hold on, though.
I feel attacked.
Hold on, guys.
I'm being triggered.
I feel, though, like I should also mention that some people receive sarcasm.
No, I get it.
Like, it scars them.
Yeah.
And some people really have no social radar for what's a joke and what's not a joke. And so they need to stay off of social media.
Well, here's the truth of the matter. Sarcasm, the word sarcasm means to tear flesh. That's actually where the word comes from. And so you are right. And I don't talk to everyone like that because I realize, you know, there's a type of comedy roasting. Have you ever watched the Comedy Channel roast? And some of them get so raunchy you can't. But even Dean Martin's roast back in the day, there's a style of comedy where you don't mean nothing by it. Reagan had someone.
I was about to say, someone the other day had something on me that was so good, and it made me think for a second. But what they said was, they were like, I wore my glasses to work. And they said, so do you wear glasses to cover up the fact that you don't have eyebrows? And I was so taken back. But then I looked in a mirror, I was like, that was incredible. Yeah. That was amazing. I'm not even mad. That was such a good.
So you are obviously a very secure and well-adjusted man.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like, ooh, he made fun of my eyebrows.
He was raised in this household, so he's got three layers.
So let me speak to you from another perspective.
Please.
We moved every 3 years. I was always the new girl. I was ridiculed. I was torn apart, and I was not treated kindly.
Man.
If someone said that to me as an adult, I would cry.
Oh,
so
but see, I think that's where you got. It's all about context. This has everything to do with context. You know, you don't talk to people like that. That's rude. It's not socially accepted. Mm-hmm. However, if you have a relationship with them, if you have
that's
a relationship,
different.
If you have a relationship with them and they know you don't mean nothing by it, it's just because I've had my friends. I mean, we banter back and forth. Yeah. They call me fat. They call me bald. Aww. They call me. Well, it's true. How am I going to? But I don't.
What am I going to call them, a liar?
I mean, there's empirical evidence to show that they're doing.
That's so discouraging, though. You've lost 35 pounds.
I'm still 35 pounds from 300 is still.
Well, I think that we should focus on encouragement. I think
but
that
the point
Coach Dave
is,
would agree.
The point is, if it wasn't people that I know and love and understand the context, if it was just someone that came, I'd get my feelings hurt. Yeah. But it's all a matter of risk. And so the whole point is, the whole point of the matter is, you have to understand where people are coming from. And there's certain conversations that it's not appropriate if you don't have that kind of relationship. It wouldn't be appropriate if you're a new person at school, work, or whatever. I know that's not.
Yeah.
But if it's your best bud, or you've got this history of 10 years playing together in groups and bands and stuff like that, and, you know, especially guys. I mean, there is a thing.
Y'all are rough. Y'all are rough on each other.
But that's how guys are.
Yeah.
You know,
I think about my son running around with people like y'all, and I'm like, oh no, they better not talk about my baby's eyebrows.
But see, that would be, I think that's what my mom would think. But the thing was, I gave him a high five after. I was like, that was the best insult.
And again, that's a huge indication that you are well adjusted and completely secure in who you are.
Yeah. Oh, I would hope so. Yeah. I would hope so.
But yeah.
I guess it just depends on who it comes from and how the context is.
Yeah.
And I think this was just more of
you. Dave, this is where you're supposed to interrupt and get this thing back on.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to say that I was really impressed with Reagan when I met him. And so I knew you were okay, Terry, when I met Reagan.
See, your judgment of me is based on Reagan. Okay. Well,
That's right. That's right.
Well, he's well adjusted, I think. But you know what?
I like that.
But there, I will tell you this, there's other kids in this household that they wouldn't respond the way he did. It's personality type.
Yeah. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? It's got a lot to do with your personality type.
And I think,
type.
Again, you made a good point with female versus male.
Female versus male. Like, not trying to be sexist. They're just differences.
No. We're built differently. God made me differently than he made you guys. And some of those things that if they were spoken to me, even as an adult, I'm so happily married. I love my kids. I love my job. I'm very secure in my life. But even if someone like one of you guys said that to me, I'd be like,
we would never say that.
Do they think I'm, you know, unsightly? Like, I would be insecure.
Well, here's the thing. To bring it back to the story, and then we got to button up because I know we're spending too much time. But one of the rules of the unwritten rules of, to me, of comedy is you never swing down. You always swing up.
Okay.
Had this guy been a subpar drummer or musician, I would have never, because you don't insult. But this guy is known to be really, really, really good. He is the gold standard. Okay. So keep that in context, too.
Okay, that's important.
So when you say...
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, you don't criticize people that, you know, the punch could land. The statement was so absurd, that's where the... It's like calling me skinny. It's so absurd... You know it's a joke.
What's up, Slim? Like
that exactly. I mean, come on.
Y'all are so bad.
Anyway.
I don't do that. I'm just saying that would be the...
So attitudes toward life and mindset, biases in business. How many times have you talked to people? I mean, we live in a world today that it seems like every single type of business or every type of thing you could get involved with, everyone, oh, that's a scam. Well, that's a joke.
Skepticism is real.
Lawyers are crooks. Car salesmen are crooks. Insurance people are crooks.
Doctors are liars.
Chiropractors. Oh, Dave, you used to be a chiropractor. I mean, that's quackery. I mean, it seems like everything. Everybody's a cynic nowadays.
When I go to the chiropractor regularly, and when I talk about it, I always feel like I have to qualify it because there's so many people that don't live their life the way that I do, pursuing health instead of chasing medicine.
Well, they would rather medicate the problem than solve it.
The thing is, like, I would say I'm pretty cynical in a lot of stuff. Like, you've seen that.
There's a healthy skepticism, and then there's...
Well, I toe the line sometimes, but I'll say this, especially with chiropractors. I had, like, a really bad runner's knee. It's it's a band. I can't think of the name of the band, but it's on, like, the side of your knee. And I tore it while I was running one day, and I went to two sessions with our chiropractor, and... I mean, instantly felt better.
Okay, number one, you're a runner. That's awesome. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, well, runner, I mean.
Number two, that's amazing. And I can say the same thing. Last week, I pulled a muscle doing an insanity. It's a high-intensity interval training.
Yeah. I used to do this. Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
And I went to the chiropractor three times last week. Mm-hmm. And, like, I am a new person. I didn't have to go to the ER and take muscle relaxers and painkillers and...
Yeah, no, I got into like a really heated debate with someone because they're very much like chiropractic is.
The point is of this whole thing.
Sorry.
That's okay. No. The point is, no matter what type of business anyone gets in, there's always going to be somebody out there that's cynical.
Yeah.
It's always critical. That. You know, if you got a dream to be a lawyer, go be a lawyer.
Well, I told my family I was about to buy $5,000 worth of clothes to start my business, they were like, what?
Exactly.
What? Right.
I mean, so don't allow the opinions of others to talk you out of chasing, pursuing, and engaging your dream. Because if you do, you're going to be exactly where they're at. And that's...
Working a job. 9 to 5.
Priorities and planning. That's another mindset. Your priorities and planning. You know why I achieve what I achieve during the day is because I have a priority. I don't do anything. I'm not... This has got to get done first. You've got to prioritize your dreams, folks. If it's a dream, if it's worth having as a dream, then it's worth fighting for. And if it's worth fighting for, it's worth planning for. And so you've got to make your pursuit of your dreams a daily priority. Number two, so we talked about mindsets, habits, daily routines. What are you doing on a daily activity?
I am OCD about my daily habits.
What's oct? Octed.
Oh. You lost me.
Never mind.
He's trying to make a bad joke about
it. It's a terrible joke. Please keep talking.
Oh, you're spelling out the sounds. So I have my planner, and every day I wake up and I know exactly what I need to do first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Right.
And then I can do what I want after that. But I think that routine is so good, and I think that our bodies respond to doing things over and over at the same time,
right,
consistently.
Muscle memory.
Yeah.
And there's something that former wrestler, for you guys that grew up watching professional wrestling.
Goldberg.
what was it? What was his name?
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, yes.
That's telling on our culture down here in the Southeast. But one of my good friends was one of the Four Horsemen. Wrestled with Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard. And we used to play golf a lot together. And we went to, golf course out past Charlotte that...
Meadowbrook.
No, that's the local yokel.
The Lake Lure one?
No, this is where the PGA U.S. Open was that Tin Cup was filmed at and all that. I forget the name. It's a famous golf course out there. But nevertheless, he took me on to get with his golf professional. And, because I was really getting into golf back then. And I was telling the guy, I said, listen, I practice. I play four times a week. I'm out here. I'm at least 18 holes every time I go out. I hit a bucket. And I said, so I thought practice made perfect. And I says, my game still stinks. He says, no, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. You can practice a bad routine.
That's true.
You can have a bad posture, a bad grip, a bad chink, and you're in you. Yeah, you keep practicing. That's the way you're going to swing, and you're always getting the same results. Yeah. Business is the same way. It's amazing these guys come on, and I call them the unemployed experts. And they come on, and they want to tell us how we should do everything. Yet the reason they got involved with our business to start with is because they're unemployed.
They had time.
They weren't successful. And so I said, do me a favor. And that's why we even started that 90-day money made guarantee. I said, just do it my way. I know it won't feel natural. I know the club. Can I use the golf example? I said, I know that it's going to feel different in your hands. I know it's going to seem strange, but there is a reason for the reason we do this. Mm-hmm. There's for the madness. So just do it. Trust me. If you'll do it my way and do it legitimately and do it full heartedly and don't sell it short, do it. Even though you don't understand it, just do it this way. In 90 days, I guarantee you results. 90 days, or we, suspend your admin fees and all this other stuff. And it's amazing when I can get them out of the way of themselves,
yeah,
and start rehearsing it in a way that works. And it then, dadgum, dear, you're right. You might ought to sell this thing. <It's amazing. laughs> So your habits, your daily routines. I want to tell you something. If you're not getting results and you do have a daily routine, then check your routine, because it might not be the best routine. Minute by minute metrics, you need to be thinking about, when I'm resting, I'm resting. When I'm working, I'm working. When I'm with family, I'm with family. Make that a habit. Be where you're at. So many times, one of the reasons of pursuing your dream and realizing your dreams becomes so difficult is because you feel so scattered. And the reason you're so scattered is because you never are where you're at.
Can I say something?
You can, absolutely.
So I've been in business a while now, and I finally made this life-changing change like last week, whenever I got this phone that I was telling you guys that I know how to work.
What you done did.
So, and I've been actually, my brother-in-law is a pastor, and so he's always on call. And, he was like telling me, he's like, you got to disconnect from your phone. And because I was, whenever somebody, a customer would message me, I would drop what I was doing, dinner, to answer. And it was just crazy.
Right.
So anyways, I got this new phone and I cut off all business notifications, all of them. So if I have 20 messages, I don't even know.
There you go.
I'm here. Right. I'm with my family. I'm with my kids. I am here. And then when I want to go work, you know, when it's my work time, I go pick up my other device, my iPad.
Right.
And I work.
It's just,
it's so simple.
It's a simple, but it's those simple things like that. And I'll tell you what happened to me when I started, you become more effective when you are at work.
Oh my word, yes. I'm not like begrudgingly like, oh, I just stopped dinner to respond and your question was not even worth me stopping dinner over. I'm not angry. I'm happy.
You have to be able to delineate your time that way. Otherwise, your business doesn't get the best of you and your family doesn't
get the best of you.
It's just total chaos. And the second habit you need to develop, mindset. We talked about mindset, attitude towards life, biases in businesses, priorities and planning. That's a mindset. Habits are daily routines. Make sure they're routines that are effective and are bringing about change, positive change. There's another thing that when you're looking at your habits is the minute by minute metrics. Be where you're at. That's what I mean by that. Thirdly is a lifestyle of learning. I'm telling you guys, pick up a podcast, an audiobook every single week. And get outside of things that you would normally listen to. I was listening to a podcast the other day, had nothing to do with business, nothing to do with sports, something totally different. And I picked up a brilliant, brilliant business idea, put it in practice on social media this weekend, and already seeing major results from it. You know, so it's just, awesome. You know, expose yourself. Lastly, when you're talking about pursuing your dreams, the audacity to dream, the third thing that you want to look at if you want to achieve your dreams is temperament. And here's what I mean by that. You need to be self-aware of who you are. What is your temperament type? And most people really don't understand their personality. They really don't. They think they do, but they really don't. And I'll give you a quick example. When I was getting certified to do the Myers-Briggs thing, they were giving us case studies. And it was this guy that was raised by an alcoholic father. And it was a very abusive situation. And when his dad would come home, he was conditioned by his mother and everybody, just stay quiet, stay out of his way. No one gets hurt. Mm-hmm. So he spent his whole life in this very introverted lifestyle. Mm-hmm. He grows up. He goes out and gets a job. Every job he gets to, he's working in a cubicle. He's working with papers. He's working by himself because he has conditioned himself through his activities. I must be an introvert because I've just stayed quiet my whole life. Well, it just so happens that he found himself, his career progressed, that he was someone that did some type of paperwork or something at a car dealership, doing the title work and stuff, all the administrative work in the back office. Well, it just so happened one weekend that this dealership was having this humongous sale, and it really paid off. They had tons of people coming in. So the owners came back and says, all hands on deck. I don't care if you sweep the floors around here. I don't care what you do. Get out there and help the customers. I don't know anything about cars. I don't talk. Get out there and help the customers. Mm-hmm. So this guy, because of the situation, was forced to get out and work with people. Mm-hmm. Turns out he sold a few cars that weekend. Turns out he loved it. Wow. Turns out he asked to be moved from the administrative side over to the sales side. Turns out, years later, he now owns 22 dealerships in Texas. Turns out, he's an extrovert.
Wow.
Not that you have to be an extrovert to be a salesman, by the way. But the point of the matter is, just because you've been conditioned by life to act a certain way does not mean that that's actually who you are.
Interesting.
Family dynamics, work dynamics, all of these things play into conditioning us.
So where's this test at on the website?
Well, I can take it to you. Matter of fact, if you're a TW3 member, you have the right to take it at a discount. It's $197 to take general public. If you're a member, it's only $50. And as a member, you can resell it. And it's a great thing.
What?
You go through, you take this assessment. It's 98 questions. And I know Coach Dave's on here. He's got his stuff as well. And he can resell this. He's an elite member and can resell this as part of his packaging, however he wants to do it. But there's basically eight dichotomies that program goes into. The first layer is extrovert, introvert. That's how I get energy from the outside world. Mm-hmm. Do I feel reinvigorated and alive when I'm around people, or do I feel depleted?
Right.
I speak for a living. I teach for a living. I do this for a living, mm-hmm. but I'm borderline introvert.
Yeah, that's mind blowing a little bit.
But it's because a lot of creative type people are. Mm-hmm. They want to be in their thoughts. Write this down.
Well, people are always shocked when I say I'm an introvert.
Right.
Because I do my live sales and I have all these people over shopping at my house, and I'm like, y'all got to go so I can breathe.
Well, yeah, because you just got to have that me time. So your first layer is your extrovert introvert dichotomy. Mm-hmm. Second layer is how you perceive. Do you perceive through a sensory or an intuitive function?
Okay.
That's big picture, small picture. Mm-hmm. Third dichotomy, as you get into it, is then how do I process that information? Do I use in other words, it's called your judging function. Mm-hmm. Do I use a logical function, mm-hmm. or do I use a value-based function? They call it feeling. And the reason I don't use the word feeling function is because most people associate that with an emotional function. It has nothing to do with emotions. The feeling function and logic function has to do with a logic function is I grab this information. I like to use it this way. I'm an umpire. And I'm making, this is my judging function. Mm-hmm. As an umpire, if I'm using my logic function, I am analyzing the height of the ball that came in. Is it right over the plate? Mm-hmm. And if it is, I'm either calling it a ball or strike. Okay. If I am a value judging, if I use my judging function in more of a value temperament, then I'm still looking at where the ball came in, mm-hmm. but I'm also contextualizing who the picture is, who the pitcher is, who the batter is, mm-hmm. how has he been pitching this whole game? Mm. And if he's been pitching well and I've been giving him that outside corner a little bit, even when he's off the plate, I'll go ahead and give him that one.
Yeah.
That's a value, you know. And so most of the time in marriage and in business and stuff, when people have conflict, mm-hmm. it's because one is a value judger and one's a logic judger. And that's why there's an impasse. Because their whole reasoning, and that's why when you get into counseling with people and conflict counseling, stuff like that, that's usually what you attack.
What about couples that tend to get along easier than most? Are they typically of the same reasoning?
Not necessarily. I mean, Gina and I are polar opposite in every way. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, getting along, as you quantified it, has to do more with you guys being able to understand one another. Mm-hmm. And appreciate where each other's coming from. And it could be coming from the same place.
Yeah.
Or it could be coming from polar opposite places, but you understand that person.
Cool.
You know, so that has more to do with communicational style than anything. Mm-hmm. But communication breaks down sometimes in business and in marriage and in, mm-hmm. in the workplaces when that. And the final function is, you know, the function of how I express it. You're either going to be a J or P, and that's how you put it back out in the world. You know, okay. So there's eight dichotomies, and it and then you sort of do that assessment, and then, you know, I'm an NTP J is what I am, I uh-huh. think, or if I remember it correctly, I could be ENTP is what I am. ENTP is what I am, but on the Myers-Briggs for those keeping score at home. But self-awareness is huge. And I got deep in the weeds there, guys, and I apologize. But the reason I did is because if you understand who you are and you can appreciate who other people are, then you can start building bridges to communicate more effectively to those folk. And all of a sudden you're not like, why is this idiot not getting, you know,
yeah.
but you say, oh, this person is fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And I am this. This is why they're not hearing me. So let me modify. You be the person.
That's so good.
And so that's why I use it in business all the time. Self-awareness and discovery. Learn that. Self-appreciation and application. Understanding and appreciating where other people are at. And then understanding the distinctions and the differences of other people. If you can get that in business and in your personal life, you are going to achieve your dreams. A lot of times dreams are held back, not realized, not seen because there's this impasse with another person. You know, there's always this conflict. I don't have the marriage I want. I have a dream of having a great marriage. I have a dream of having a great business. I have a dream of having great kids, whatever the case may be. A lot of times it's because of not understanding, appreciating, and how to apply the distinctions that you have with other people. Dave, you got anything else? I know I've been yammering here a while.
Yeah, Trey, that was awesome because that's been my experience as well. And I put it in these terms, you know, self-awareness, when we understand ourselves in a different way, it's liberating. I mean, yes, just like you described that gentleman that was sitting behind the desk and all of a sudden he gained a new awareness. He was forced into it, but he gained a new awareness about his capacities, his abilities, what he has to offer, and look what took off for him. And the same thing happens with, you know, becoming more aware of others. Really, my experience is, you know, most all of us, we're not necessarily we're not trying to disagree with other people or this and that and the other thing. It's a matter of understanding. I think you spoke that really well. The more we understand ourselves, the more we understand others. People are generally not personally trying to irritate you. They're typically just being themselves. And so when you understand that, you're able to embrace the differences and really get along. And this is so important in today's world. Absolutely. And, you know, it all goes back to really understanding your gifts and talents and a self-awareness and continuing to do that for yourself and discover what your gifts and talents are is so, so liberating. So well done, Terry. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thanks for being on tonight.
This was great.
It was a pleasure having you on. And I know if people want to connect with you, give your website and the way they connect with you one more time.
Sure. It's higher meaning and purpose.net. And, you know, my number is 800-296-1102.
Awesome. And guys, I'm telling you, I know there's some of you guys out there because I know you. I've talked to you. Terry, I'm a salesman. I don't need all this philosophical mumbo jumbo. Just teach me how to close sales. Well, this is how you close sales.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. Well, this is how you close it right here. You better know who you are and know the difference between you and other people because you are in the communication business, my friend.
That's right. I worked at UPS for a long time and they do a lot of sales training where you really need to understand the person that you're selling to.
Absolutely. And the hardest thing in business, the hardest thing in relationships, the hardest thing in anything is getting outside of yourself. Because I know the first 10 years Gina and I was married, it was like, I said this, why didn't she? But who cares? She perceives it, understands it, relates to it completely different.
First 10 years. Many years has it been now?
How old are you, Reagan?
Oh, stop. Time out. Strike three.
No, let's see. 22 years will be May 11th. We celebrated our 22nd anniversary.
That's awesome.
And Reagan's 23. So, no, I'm kidding. That's it.
No, there's actually a really funny story.
There's a funny story behind it.
We were going on an anniversary trip one time at work, and I had to take time off so I could babysit.
Yeah.
And they asked me, oh, that's really cute. What's their anniversary? And I was like, oh, I think it's their 15th year anniversary or something. And I wasn't thinking when I said it. I was 19 at the time, 18 at the time.
They all looked
at me. And it wasn't until like I told a good friend of mine that was like, dude, you're like 19, right? He was like, they were married. I was like, oh, yeah. And then I guess it would be their 20th. And then it took me a second. I was like, I told all my bosses. One of them that looked at me was like, that explains so much. I'm just messing.
Reagan just told everybody at Chick-fil-A he was illegitimate. Anyway, Dave, it's good to have you on tonight.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you, brother. Lindsay, it was wonderful having you on tonight, as always.
Thank you.
And if people want to connect with you, you've got a website now.
We haven't like officially launched it yet. Should I wait till next week?
I tell you what, what's your extension in the call center?
Oh, I don't have it memorized. I'm a mess.
You're really prepared for business.
I'm terrible.
No, that's all right.
Wait till next week.
You can go to Lindsay at TerryWilson3.com.
You can go
Lindsay
there, yes.
At TerryWilson3.com. You said something.
Well, I was just going to say, Mark, we had a lot of really good entries from your question that you asked everybody.
Okay, let's hit those.
I wanted to make sure we got to Mark's because there's a few, and I don't know if we'll have questions all of them, but Mark had a good one. He said, a dream to help families become stronger.
Oh, man.
I thought that was really good.
And, you know, Mark was at the ELT conference and got to participate in Bill Perry's session and got to share.
That's Mark. Oh, I'm going to start crying right now.
Yeah. And we're not going to, you know, let's just, but I will tell you the reason I'm able to help people in business is because my greatest pain came from business. And, you know, the good book says comfort those with the same comfort you've been comforted with.
That's right.
A lot of times when you've had deep pains in certain areas of your life, that's a telltale sign that there's a special grace that you're going to walk in.
That's right. He walks in it.
And he walks in that.
You cannot meet him and not be changed.
Because, I mean, he's got a passion for people, a passion for families, and he's got the stripes to prove it.
Yes, he does. So
that's good stuff. All right. Well, thank you for participating, Mark, and giving that out. And for you guys that was on tonight, thank you so much for coming on. I hope everyone got a special time and learned something. I honestly, dreams are so important. I saw a meme the other day from Cliff Ravenscraft, a guy I listened to on a podcast from time to time, and it says, "Don't quit your daydream." So many people, so many folks will quit on what they're really wanting to do in life because they just think, well, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt and failed. And so I'm just going to bow out. Nah, don't bow out. There's nothing. I've never met anyone successful that don't have the stripes of the pain of failure behind them. You just, you know, to get where you want to go, it's going to be a curvy road. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It ain't easy. But it is worth it. Thanks, guys. Hey, remember, if you want to go to the next level, you have to grow to the next level. And that's why I want to give you a free copy of my new book, You Are Worth More. Go to TerryWilson3.com/worthmore now.
Thank you for listening to our show today at TerryWilson3.com. If you would like more information on how we can take your money, your business, and your life to the next level, then please visit us online at TerryWilson3.com or call 800-673-1728.
Man, it's a great system here. This is good stuff here. I wish I found this company 10 years ago.